Stop the music. Stop the music. It's Mark Tui in for Rush Me Nair. I'm very upset. I have always three things beside me when I do radio. I have my coffee, which I keep putting, you know, fake Tim Hortons coffee in. I have my water, and I have my Lucky Diet Coke, which I almost never drink, but it is always there to make sure that everything is fine. And I decided today that, you know, it's been sitting in my bag for 3 days. I'm going to put it in the fridge so that it will cool down. I went to get it, and it was stolen, ladies and gentlemen. My Diet Coke has been purloined. Lock the doors to the building. Strip search everyone on the premises. I'm looking at the FM people in the new studio next door. It could only be them. I'm hurt. But it's time for legal decisions to be made. Sadly, not yet about my Diet Coke, because we have not quite yet brought the perpetrator to justice. But it's 4:06. I'm a bit late for...
Order in the entertainment court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
Yes, the first case is Mark versus Diet... No, it isn't. Richard Krebs, good to talk with you.
Well, could it be a coincidence that your Diet Coke goes missing on the day that John Tory was in the building?
No! There are no coincidences in politics. I'm glad you raised that up. Suspect number one, march the guilty bugger in. What's the first case in entertainment court?
Well, if you enjoy FEMA tents and cold cheese sandwiches, you may want to buy tickets for the new Fyre Festival. Billy McFarland, described by Vanity Fair as the poster boy for millennial scamming after defrauding investors of $27.4 million by marketing and selling tickets to the first Fyre Festival in 2017, is at it again. What was supposed to be a Bahamian luxury music festival was aborted 6 years ago after attendees had arrived and found that there was no food, there were problems with security, logistics, understaffing, accommodations, and talent relations. Now he's announced that he's already selling tickets to the event's second try, despite there being no official date, musical lineup, or even location, save for the fact that the Fyre Festival 2 will apparently take place, quote, in the Caribbean. The first 100 tickets have allegedly already sold out. The tickets are priced from $499 US, which is about $675 Canadian, and the event is supposed to take place about a year from now, according to the festival's website. So my question for you here is, do you think it's possible that the second Fyre Festival will be lit?
It'll be something, Richard Krause. I'm not going. I wouldn't be interested in a ticket, but people are fundamentally stupid. So I think, yes, he will sell tickets once again, and you'll be able to buy tickets on the Titanic 2, which the Blue Line promises will be flying the ocean's waves at some point around the same time. Also ready to sell tickets. Not getting on that boat either.
Listen, I'm all for giving people a second chance, but in this case, I think the old adage, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, applies. If you don't know the details of the first Fyre Festival, there have been documentaries and TV shows that should serve as a warning for people who are thinking of attending this time around. If that isn't enough, you have to wonder why a festival that doesn't have a date or a list of performers or a location has managed to sell out the first round of tickets. Buying a ticket, particularly when the top price will set you back almost $8,000 US, should not only get you a ticket for the festival, but also a nomination for the Darwin Awards, which recognizes individuals who have supposedly contributed to human de-evolution. And that is my verdict.
Yeah, we're devolving, all right, ever since, well, many things. That's another segment on its own. What is case number two, Judge Krause?
The much-anticipated sequel Dune Part 2 from Denis Villeneuve is moving off its November 3rd theatrical release to March 15th, 2024 due to the ongoing SAG-AFTRA strike. That's the Screen Actors Guild strike. The sequel, based on the Frank Herbert novel, will also play IMAX on its new date, which is a big deal. Dune Part 2 lands on a prime weekend during spring break in advance of the Easter holiday. holiday frame of March 29th to 31st. By then, the studio hopes that the strike will be over and the film stars Zendaya, Timothée Chalamet, Florence Pugh, and Austin Butler, who together have a social media count north of 258 million followers across Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, can promote the film, which they are not allowed to do while the strike continues. The move, which Warner Brothers hopes could be a giant commercial hit, or the movie rather, which Warner Brothers hopes could be a giant commercial hit and earn Oscar recognition, explores the mythic journey of Paul Atreides as he reunites with Chani, played by Zendaya, and the Freeman, while on a path to revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family. My question for you is, are you disappointed that Dune 2 is moving to next year?
I am, although I'm trying to remember, I read the Dune books, and the first one was great, the second one was okay, and the third one I don't think I ever finished. So hopefully it will be good.
If the studios would settle with the writers and the actors' unions and agree to pay them fairly for their work, moving movies around the calendar wouldn't be necessary. But here we are, and I'm okay with Warner's moving Dune Part 2 to next year. The pandemic took its toll on the release of the first film, and it still made $400 million worldwide. So I get it. They're protecting what could be one of the biggest hits of the year. Other big-budget movies like Wonka, DC's Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom and The Color Purple will stick to their previously announced dates, even if the strike lingers. That's encouraging news for theater chains who need products after a rough few years during the pandemic. But I think it also is encouraging news for moviegoers. By moving a blockbuster like Dune Part 2 to next year, the studio is leaving a space that could be filled by an independent or medium-budget film, the kind of movie that people used to flock to before Iron Man came along. Bigger is not always better, and perhaps later this year, audiences will rediscover the pleasures of going to the movies to watch smaller stories that don't feature superheroes or wild action scenes, and that is my verdict.
And we will talk about another big blockbuster film that's been bounced in a few minutes with Richard Cross, but right now we've got 2 minutes for case number three.
A professor at Ghent University in Belgium is offering a class called Literature, Taylor's Version, a play on Taylor Swift's long recent song releases. They say the professor has been besieged by requests to join the class this fall, not only by students at the university, but by non-students around the world. So my question to you is, would you get or would you try to get an A+ in Swift literature?
I would not. I would probably score a did not participate.
The idea of studying the work of pop culture figures is nothing new. There have been college courses on the Beatles, Bob Dylan, and many other popular performers, and Taylor Swift is nothing if not popular. She has a deep well of music that struck a chord with listeners and bears second thought. But more than that, it's a perfect in to teach students about other topics like literary feminism, eco-criticism, fan studies, and tropes such as the anti-hero. Just because something is popular doesn't mean it's disposable. Popular culture is important. It's our culture. Shakespeare, Sylvia Plath, and Charlotte Bronte were part of their popular culture and have remained part of ours. Will Swift's music and lyrics last as long as the work of the people I just mentioned? I don't know, but as a study of what people are responding to right now, her work is relevant and important, and I think it should be taught, and that is my verdict.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, she is not the crazy. This is not the craziest class I've ever heard of at a university or college.
Not at all.
Richard Cross, thanks for Entertainment Court. You're going to stick around when we come back. There's another blockbuster film that has been delayed. A lot of people will be disappointed. And I want your take on a marketing decision of a company that we know and maybe love and how it affects our favorite film festival. All of that coming up on The Rush in a few minutes. And later, when are we getting to smart speakers? Smart speakers coming up. My goodness, you don't have to put up with that much more of me talking because there'll be more of other people talking and less of me people talking. So that alone is worth the price of admission. Stick around. Mark Tuohy in for a Rush Me There. You are listening to The Rush on News Talk 1010.